Man, this is a great day. I brought my old composition book today, wrote my message in it today. Why? Well, I looked back and was looking through this a while back, and I stumbled across some things. Falls Creek, 2008. I had this down there, taking notes down there, and it was just fascinating to look back and see what God was doing in those days and what He continues to do today. Amen? All right. Well, we learned a couple things down at Falls Creek. We learned how to celebrate things, right? All right. All right. So we're going to continue on doing that thing. But before we do that, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Okay. And kids, when I say we will, this is when you scream out rejoice. So we're going to try that again. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will.
Rejoice.
And be glad in it. Amen. All right. Time to move on with our celebrations. Man, it just has been an amazing week since last Sunday. You can't imagine how little sleep I got. And many others. All right. Well, it's that time, Falls Creek. Why don't we go ahead and come on up here. Let's get our Falls Creek group. Everyone come up here from Falls Creek. Have a seat up here. We're going to watch a little video. Guys, videos can sometimes be long, but it's so exciting for these young people. So let's watch and see what God did in the lives of them. See how much fun they had this week.
I'm falling more in love with you every single day, and I cannot contain this fire in my bones. For you speak and the walls fall down, you speak and the walls fall down, you speak and the walls fall down, you speak and the walls fall down. And I am head over heels because you are here. And I cannot contain fire in my bones. Oh, you speak and the walls fall down. 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 You speak.
Oh, Lordy, back to business here. All right. Sam, scoot over. Let me get back in here with this thing. All right. What an amazing week. Does anyone have any testimonies they want to say from the week from our students? Any students? This could get scary. Okay, we'll have to. I heard a yeah. I heard a yeah in there. We'll keep this to 10 minutes or less. No, I'm just kidding.
So, this week. What? Okay. This week was a good week. I think it was Monday. We were in our family groups, or was it Tuesday? Tuesday. Chelsea asked what we wanted this week, and I said clarification. And I was, let's see here, what was it? It was Ben. Yeah, Ben Kelly. I was by myself, and I guess I was crying out to the Lord, and he came over, and he said that your mom was going to be okay. And that was the first sign of clarification. That was one of them. And then the next night, I was, or it was the next day, and we had quiet time. And I was flipping through the Bible. I was done with my quiet time, and I was flipping through. And I came across Isaiah 35, 3 and 4. And in 35, in verse 3, it said that to strengthen the hands of the weak and who are tired, and encourage those who are weary. And I thought of this youth group, and I thought about my mom, how us as a youth group, if we have someone who is down and has almost no faith left, that we need to pray with them and strengthen them and pray with them. And then the next night, the singer of the week, his name was Mike Romero, he had a song, and he sung, and it was called Hold On Heart, and he sung that song, and he wrote that song about his friend who had cancer, and he said he had stage 4 cancer in his liver, and it spread to his bones. And he told me, or in the song, it said, dry up your tears, the pain is gone. And that was clarification again, and that was the third sign of clarification. And the next day, I saw him walking down in the morning. I got up early in the morning, and I saw him, and I stopped him and said, thank you. And he told me that in the song, in the second verse, the guy sings the verse, and he was on chemo while he was singing it. And he said a couple weeks later he was cleared and had no more cancer. So, so that was that. And then that was my week. That's my testimony.
Awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right.
Okay. Is this on? Yeah.
This week at Falls Creek, I found something a little different than I usually do every year. I grew a bond with new people that are usually there and people that have been there. Usually at Wednesday nights, I just hang out with people I usually do. But this year is different. I hung out with people that I don't ever talk to, and I told them that, you know, that when they needed me, that they could come to me, and that I'd always be there for them, and that they means a lot to me, and just, so it was a little different, and that's kind of cool, and so I wanted to share.
Awesome, awesome. Anybody else student-wise? All right, any adults have anything they want to share?
Or I always have something to say.
All right.
So this week, my lesson was about the church and what the church is and what our responsibilities are as a church. And we all know that our responsibility as a church is to glorify God, to honor His name, and to follow the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and to get people into heaven. And what we did is we stopped and we looked at some things that our youth group was really good at, that we were really good at. And, you know, some of those things were loving one another, respecting one another, you know, being there for one another. But then I kind of turned it and I said, now let's look at some of the things that we aren't so great at. because a lot of people don't want to do that. They don't want to, you know, as a church body, we don't want to accept sometimes the things that we aren't so good at. And so I think that it's important for us to stop, to acknowledge the things that we aren't so good at and to strengthen ourselves in that. And so as a youth group, we have found a list of several things that we can strengthen on and get better at. As a church, I want to challenge you guys to look at yourselves, not just you inward, but as a church body. The first one is being humble. The second one is forgiving. The third one is apologizing. Fourth is serving. Fifth is spending time together. Sixth is teaching. Seventh is encouraging. Eight is protecting. Nine is reaching out to the lost. 10 is giving, sharing, and sacrificing. And the last one, the 11th, which to me, they're all so very important, but the most important one is loving. Loving as Christ loved us and loving completely unselfishly. So as a church, I just want to encourage you guys to do that, to look at yourselves, to look at the body and say, you know, what are we good at? Strengthen that and then go, what can we improve on and improve on that as well?
I just want to share one moment that stuck out to me. I forget what night it was, but one of our kids, Jordan, if it's okay if I share this, Jordan, because I'm going to, he passed out and commenced to freak out. You don't know what's going on. Is he sick? You know what's going on. So we cleared the kids out into the back of the cabin. We had this great kind of scene area back out there to give him some room to breathe and get the medics in, see what's going on. He is okay, obviously. He's alive and well today, just dehydration. But we cleared the kids out to the back, and Andrew started, you know, lead us in a prayer to pray for Jordan. And then next thing I know, it's just me and 40 kids staring at me. So I'm feeling terror. Guys, I'm just a worship leader. I'm not a pastor. Help. So I just said, okay, well, God, help me out here. I don't know what to do. But we ended up just having, I don't know, half an hour of just open prayer, which I don't know if these kids have ever really, have they had that yet? It started out as, you know, please pray, you know, heal Jordan, whatever's going on, give him courage, you know, God heal him. We don't know what's going on, but please have your hand of healing over him. Started out as that, and then it ended up being just a moment of really hearing God in the stillness and the quiet. And a lot of them prayed out loud, which I know was terrifying for a lot of them. And I, one, want to say I'm very proud of you guys. I know that was a scary moment for some of you to pray out loud. That's hard to do at first. But what stood out to me was how God made a really scary situation and made it a time of really coming together for these kids, coming together for Jordan and coming together as followers of Christ. They listened and they prayed out loud and they cried out to God in a way I'm not sure some of them have really had at this point. So that just stood out to me as a moment of how mysterious God is and how he works in ways you don't expect. So that's it for me.
Amen. All right. Anything else anybody wants to share real quick before we move on? Andrew, come on up, Andrew.
Good morning. Tell you what, this week was an exciting week. I was a little bit nervous at first because this is our first year. We got a bigger cabin because we outgrew the old one, as you can tell.
Amen.
And so me personally, I was a little nervous, but you know, I felt God telling me, "Hey, look at Abraham." I told him, take up your things, your wife, your family, go out here to this bigger land, and I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to make you as numerous as the sands and everything. And I was like, okay. So I just kept centered on God. And we got this cabin. Man, we had a fantastic week. And each night, I kept on reaping the harvest of seeing all these decision cards just out of our cabin our kids have made for salvations, rededications, call to ministries. I mean, it was just fantastic to see the harvest already and the starting seeds of this new place that we have now at Falls Creek. And that's all I have to say.
Amen. Well, as I mentioned, we did a little celebrating on the last night. We thanked a lot of people. And I want to take just a moment to continue on with that celebration. Today is a great day of celebration. And we have to celebrate the same thing we did Friday night, starting with the King of Kings. Let's hear it for the King of Kings. We thank God for all the people that went ahead of us, starting Falls Creek, the founder of this church, Pastor Jack Eldred, you know, for allowing us the opportunity to go there and just giving us opportunities. And then we want to thank our Prayer of Faith family. A lot of you guys prayed for us. A lot of you guys gave financially. A lot of you guys got your children here, your grandchildren, nieces, nephews, whatever it was, you got them here. You got friends here. And we want to celebrate you guys. So let's celebrate our Prayer of Faith family. Our cook for the first time, Cherie Wilhite. You did a fantastic job, and again this year, nobody starved at all. Her husband, Tim, that went as a sponsor. Tim taught a lesson down there, and let me tell you, if you want to know something about Tim, sit down and talk to him, because he did a fantastic job down there. We're blessed to have him down there. And then our youth pastors, Andrew and Chelsea Bellflower, let's hear it for them. Anna Clark, our worship leader. And she did not do that alone. She had help from Ben on the trumpet. Ben. Hunter on the drums. Wave your hand, Hunter. All right. Caitlin and Lindsay, you're over on this side. Wave your hands. They were singing. All right. They sang down there. Sebastian on the bass. Sebastian. All right. Austin and Caden on the computer those nights. All right. Our bus driver, Al, that we got extra at the last minute. We needed that. We had a nicer bus, but Al. So our bus driver, Al. As always, our master servant at Prayer Faith World Outreach, Jim Murray. He drove his truck in the trailer down there, and Jim is just always there to serve and drive the bus, no more, but drive the pickup in the trailer, and we appreciate that so much, Jim. And we celebrated you down there, and we celebrate you again today. And then our executive pastor and sponsor, Eric Ferguson. And something about a senior pastor, Adam Dilling, sponsor. And then one more celebration, and this is a different Sunday for our church, for those guests and visitors. This is a different day of celebration, but we're so proud. I mean, this is what God was doing last week, and it was fantastic. But our visitors that came down, Hunter's parents came down, JC and Casey came down. Kisha came down, Laren came down, Spencer came down, Michelle and Dwayne came down, my wife Cindy came down. So we always welcome visitors and thank you guys for coming down. All right, before we sit down, a brief recap. One injury, he turned out to be okay. That was Jordan, our friend Jordan here. We had one electrical blackout that was restored after a while, a couple hours. Down at Falls Creek, we had one salvation down there. Is Ryan here? Ryan's not here today. Okay, Ryan's not here. Tim's nephew, Ryan Lee, came down, and he accepted Christ down there. So we want to celebrate that as well. Three special prayers, five rededications. Four people said they feel a calling into ministry. So let's celebrate that today. All right, Falls Creek, you may have a seat back down there. Thank you guys for coming up. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, we got a picture real quick, right? Real quick, picture. Draw it in quickly. Right in the middle. Strike that pose, Bryce. Scooch in. Scooch in. Everyone on the sides, bring it in.
Like we love each other.
Yes, like you loved each other last week. They've forgotten already. Bring it in, bring it in. Let's move on with service. All right. You may have a seat. Thank you, guys. Let's hear it for our Falls Creek team and for Prayer of Faith World Outreach. All right. Well, it's been a fantastic week. And again, lots of celebrations going on. the bigger guy that was sitting there eating with us, his name was Tiny, and he was our speaker for this week. Tiny had a very unique way of getting his point across and did a great job. And then there was a bearded guy in the middle of that when we were singing songs. He walked past and heard us blaring, what were we playing, Andrew? Journey, that's right. We were playing Journey, and he came in and said, man, I heard that, and I just want to come in. And so we spent a few minutes thanking him for his worship style, and he had a different style. I mean, it's not very often you're in a church and a guy's going to town like this and getting everyone involved in that, but he worshiped the King of Kings, and it was about worship. It wasn't about, hey, let's have a good time and have it be about me. And what Tiny said and what Mike said was, don't make it about me, man. Give God the glory for everything we're doing down here, for the ability to speak to these young people, for the ability to minister to these young people. Give God the glory. And they didn't want any attention. But man, they did a fantastic job of showing us how to worship and doing those things. Eric Ferguson and Kisha Ferguson, come on up here. Come on up, up on the stage, if you would. We're going to continue on with our celebrations. Eric Ferguson, this last week, we Pastor Helen and Eric and I went to Tulsa for Free Methodist Conference that we joined. Eric was ordained this past Monday, so let's celebrate that. Philip and Pastor Helen and Jan Murray, can I get you to come up here? We're going to lay hands on Eric in just a moment and pray for him. And so just in celebration of that, we got Eric, a cross that if he chooses, he can wear. He can just swing it around, whatever he wants to do. But we've got a little gift here from the church, Prayer of Faith. We are proud of that accomplishment. It takes years of classes and knowledge and reading and studying. And we're so proud of Eric for that accomplishment. Guys, let's gather around. We're going to pray for Eric and lift him up in as an ordained elder now. Come on, let's lay hands. Let's get you up here a little bit, Eric. Right there. Let's lay hands on him. Church, would you join me in prayer for Eric? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this gift that you've given us and Eric, the calling he's had into ministry. God, we pray that Eric will take authority over your word, faithfully proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, that he will declare your forgiveness to others and he will shepherd your people. And we ask these things in your son's name. Amen. Thank you. Let's celebrate Eric as an ordained pastor now. That's part of the long week. It started Sunday afternoon as Helen and Eric and I headed up to Tulsa. It was a late night Sunday night, very late night Monday night, but well worth it to go up and see Pastor Eric get ordained. And Eric, we're just so proud of you and just so thankful for that accomplishment. And we pray God's blessing on you and your ministry. Now it's time to move on to another celebration, the celebration of the Lord's table. If our servants would come forward that are serving the Lord's table, and this is a little more reverent celebration, but it's a great celebration nonetheless. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it tells us before we come to the Lord's table, take a moment that we can examine ourselves and check ourselves out and check our spirits out. So let's just take a moment, let's bow our heads, take a moment, and to ask God to reveal to you areas in your life that you need to be made whole and clean again. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, man, we just thank you for this fantastic day of celebration. Lord, we continue that celebration by partaking of the elements in the Lord's Supper. God, we ask you to reveal the parts in our lives that we need to be made whole. Maybe just remove some of the darkness that's in certain areas of our life. God, we learned at Falls Creek this week that we cannot walk in darkness and expect the benefits of walking in light. So reveal those areas to us, Lord. Reveal those areas to us before we come to the Lord's table. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, it says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. As we come to the Lord's table today at Prayer of Faith World Outreach, we celebrate this on the first Sunday of each month. It is open communion to those that have accepted Jesus Christ and believe that He's the Son of the living God. And so we do have an open communion for all of those to partake at this time. If you would, let's come forward. We'll take the elements, take them back to our seat, and we'll take those all together as a church body. Go ahead and come. The Lord's table is open. On the same night in which He was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it. And He said, "Take, this is My body broken for you. For as often as you eat of this bread, do this in remembrance of Me." Church, let us eat. In a like manner, He took the cup after He had supped, saying, "This is a cup of the new covenant, which is My blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. For as often as you drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of Me." Church, let us drink. "For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again." Amen. You may be seated. Well, again, it's a great day of celebration. It's been an exhausting week. It's been an exhilarating week. It's just been fascinating as we watch our young people and our servants come down. You know, and I asked in one of our family groups, I said, "What stands out to you this week?" And Jordan, I was very happy with your answer. He said, "Man, I come down here a stranger." He knows somebody in the group, but in the group as a whole, isn't that familiar with people? And said, "But you guys made me feel like family." And I said, "Well, Jordan, you are family, and that's why you feel like family, because you are." And that's what the church body should be like. Amen. Today's scripture reading is from Psalm, the book of Psalm, and I love it. We started out this morning saying, "This is the day which the Lord has made. We will," what? "Rejoice and be glad in it." And I read in Psalm 118, and it's a beautiful chapter. And just before that, in verse 22, it says, "A stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." And then it says, "This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Let's turn, if we would, to 1 Timothy. We've had a great day of celebration, but 1 Timothy chapter 1. And as you're turning there, 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit and read something out of 1 Timothy 4, but I want you guys just to stay in 1 Timothy 1. And as we look at Eric and his ordination and our young people, I wanted to read this. And it says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to these things, reading, exhortation, and to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all." That your progress, young people, that your progress may be evident to all. When they look at you, they can see something different about you. "Take heed to yourself and to doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." You guys can be an example to other people and save people through salvation by them asking what it is you have. And they're going to want it also. during the summer months when there's a lot of freedom, you guys have to watch yourself carefully. And you have to protect yourselves against the enemy. That was from 1 Timothy chapter 4, but we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 1 for the main body of the text today. But I just want to tell you, in your youth, you can be used. And again, four different people said, I feel a calling into ministry. And there were some others that talked about it and talked about what they wanted to do possibly in the youth group and what they wanted to do for God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, that's a pretty powerful greeting. You usually say, hey, Eric, what's up? But no, not Paul. He says to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from our God and Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Quite a different greeting. Young people, oftentimes I hear you guys greeting one another. What's up, loser? It's a little different greeting, right? So we have to watch how we greet one another to begin with. Our greeting to one another is so important. And let me tell you, we learned a lot of things about each other this week. And we also learned that we don't know half of what some of the people in our group are going through. I didn't realize you were going back to a home life that's like this. I didn't realize your family was lost. And you're hoping to take the light of Jesus Christ back to your family and light up that house. Man, I didn't know your parents were going through a divorce. Man, I didn't know your family's going through this illness or that illness. I didn't know you guys just lost your house. So when we don't know things about each other and we walk up to someone and say, hey, what's going on, loser? You have no idea the impact of that phrase. As opposed to, man, Serena, how are you doing today? Are you okay? Man, is there anything I can pray for you about? It's about how we greet one another. It's about how we greet one another. And it says in verse 3, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. And I thought, man, there's so many things we've got to focus on that thing. Now the purpose in verse 5, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. I was very proud of our youth pastor this week, Andrew Bellflower, when he gave a lesson and said, this, this, and this. And here's the scriptures to back it up. If you can't find scripture to back it up, you better check it out again. And I was so proud when Andrew, I made note of that, Andrew. He said, and here's a scripture to back up what I'm telling you. That way you know it is true. He hasn't strayed from it. He hasn't stretched it. He says, this is it. We're going to flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Church and young people, you may have friends, you may have neighbors, you may have family members that mock you, that don't understand this God you serve, and say, man, if God is so good, why did this happen? Well, that's a cheap shot. Man, if you were this, why did you let this happen? You know, we make mistakes, but God doesn't make mistakes. God does not make mistakes. We had some lessons this week. We learned about God taking away loved ones. We prayed for restoration. We prayed for health. And God took some loved ones from us. We got to know that it was for God's benefit, maybe, and not ours. We had a great little lesson in our family group about that. Sometimes when we think God says no, and the answer is no, but there's a bigger blessing, we may not see it. It may be for somebody else's benefit that he took that loved one. It may be for his benefit. And I love using the example of the lady that poured out the oil. And I mentioned this several weeks ago in one of my messages. And I said, remember, she's pouring out the oil. And the disciples go, my goodness, what's she doing? Man, if you would give us that oil, we could have sold it and then given it to the needy. He said, man, what she has done, it's not about you. This is for my benefit. Jesus Christ speaking, not Adam. This is for my benefit that she's doing this. It's not for your benefit. And sometimes when God does that, we have to understand it. But he's talking to Paul, and he says, Paul says, because he counted me faithful. Can you imagine someone that is out there chasing down Christians to kill them and lock them up and persecute them? And now he's saying, but Jesus counted me faithful. First, he says, he enabled me. He allowed me. That's a pretty forgiving Savior that allows someone that's chasing and trying to kill Christians to preach the word. He enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly these things. I did them ignorantly in unbelief. Your family members, your friends may mock your Jesus Christ in ignorance and in unbelief. And that's what it said before, man, let your actions speak for you. Let you carry yourself differently. Let your words speak for you. When you get angry and scream out in fits of rage, man, that's a hard picture of Jesus Christ there to try and show somebody, oh, no, really, I love Jesus. He's changed me. He just hasn't changed that part of me. And that happens. But don't give up. Let him continue to work on you and in you and through you. So the same Jesus goes on to say, and the grace of our Lord in verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. There was lots of it. With faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And in case we haven't figured that out, that is you and that is me. We are the sinners he came into this world to save. Amen? He came to save us. Of whom Paul says, I was a chief sinner. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy that in me, first Jesus Christ, might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That same Jesus Christ, young people, we heard about it this week, he can take a blind man and make him what? Make him see. He can take a deaf man and make him. He can take someone that is mute, unable to speak, and make them speak. He can do all these things. He can do all these things. The lost become found in him. The lame are able to walk. The lepers can lose their spots. Young people, for clarification, it's lepers, not leopards. Okay, but lepers. If he wants, he can make the leopards lose their spots, I guess, too. But he can give hope to the hopeless. Young people, if you are feeling hopeless, he can bring you hope and give you hope. And I hope and pray this last week was an example of that. Church, if you're coming today feeling hopeless, man, he can bring hope to you. He can give you that hope. He can make sick people well. He can change you and your circumstances if you allow him. If you allow him. Chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, and we'll wrap up with this. chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, verse 1 through 7. It says, therefore, I exhort first of all, all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. Now listen carefully to this church body, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. How so? In all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. God our Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, down at Falls Creek, we are blessed year after year to have an amazing group of young people. An amazing group of young people, not without issues and problems. Parents out there, relatives, I know you're saying, oh, come home and see how they treat me. Okay, I get that. But I'm talking in the big picture, these are amazing young men and women. We have a cabin full of modest young women that I love and I'm so proud of. Because there's a world out there of immodesty. And our young women are so modest and I love that and I'm proud of them. And sometimes when you go down there and you just see kids, you just kind of, you know, our kids were fortunate for our group that they know Jesus Christ and or have accepted Him over the last couple of days. And sometimes you take someone and you want to push them over that line. Go accept Him. You can't drag them there. You cannot drag them there. You can drag them there, you just can't get them there to that point. That's got to be on them, man. If you're forcing them to pray a prayer or to say it, it probably didn't happen. Probably wasn't real in their heart. They probably didn't mean it and know what it means. But it says, God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. Jesus starts out by saying, man, come and be peaceable, men and women. Be quiet. Be a witness by your actions. Be a witness by your words and the things that you do. Down there at Falls Creek, one of the comments was, when you go back home, one of the questions, when you go back home, what will you fill or what will you replace God with? See, our young people come back and they don't have phones down there. When you come back, what will you replace God with? One or two came back immediately and replaced God with Facebook, phones, and complaining and whining right off the bat. And that happens. Church, it happens with us. Praise God, drive out the driver. Look out! Oh my gosh, there's a car. Get off my tail! And we've replaced God in an instant pulling out of the parking lot of church. Adam, were you in the car? No, I've been there. I've been the one doing that. Okay? I've been there. I replaced God in seconds after pulling out of the parking lot before. And Tiny, our speaker, spoke about, he obviously was a lover of food, he said. He's a big guy. I guess the first night he told him he was 6'4" and weighs none of your business. Then he said, go back and tell your church about how great Falls Creek was. Don't tell them how good I was. Don't tell them how good the band was. But give God the glory. And I am giving God the glory by using Tiny to reach our young people and to speak into our lives. And he had made a commitment to Christ on a fast. And his mom came over and she's a great cook and she cooked lots of food. He said, I walked in and I smelled it. And she left what? Chicken strips for him. And he said, oh. Just one, who's going to know? I live alone. Mom's left. She just left the food behind. one chicken strip. He said, I almost gave up my commitment to Christ over a chicken strip. And it really impacted me because I thought, that's a chicken strip, big deal. But how quickly, church, young people, do we give up our commitment to Christ every week for what? Cell phones, Facebook, video games, work, hobbies, habits, smoking, drinking, pornography, gambling, casinos, lotto tickets, whatever, driving all over town and back, whatever, partying, just whatever it is. What do we replace God with when we come back? And what are we willing to give up our relationship with Christ and our commitment to Him? What are we willing to trade off? Man, let's take an interest in one another. I want to read these three things and then we'll dismiss. And I read them Friday night to our young people because I thought it was important to re-emphasize what was mentioned. And it talked about our confession and our repentance. It says, we don't take it seriously enough to leave behind the things that we're confessing. So when we want to give something up, we come pretend to give it up. But we don't take it seriously enough to give up the things that we're confessing. Sorry, two things. One I've already mentioned, the chicken strips. And then the final thing is, we do real good about talking church, but we don't know how to what? Live for Christ, right? We can give the church answers. We can do the church talk. We can do the church look. But man, we are no good at living our life for Christ. We just have the wordy things. And we've got to get better at that. Amen. As we finish our celebration today, I want us to think, what does God have in store for you in your life? What is something you know? Just think for a second and it'll pop to you because it should be right there floating at the top. What are you willing to trade off your commitment for Christ for? And I want you to think of that. If you can, write it down. Write it down so you can focus on that. Uh-oh, I wrote it down. I got to focus on this because I trade off my commitment to Christ every time I do this. Every time I go here. Every time I say this. Every time I see so-and-so. What are you trading off? Let's go to Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask three questions as we go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this great day of celebration, Lord. We have so many things to celebrate. We celebrate that we serve the King of Kings first and foremost. And we are so grateful and thankful for that. And we need to slow down and say thank you more often. The blind man that received his sight said, thank you, Jesus. And we need to slow down every now and then and say, thank you, Jesus. So we celebrate the King of Kings. Lord, we celebrate the ordination of Eric Ferguson. What a powerful moment that is in the life of a Christian believer. And we thank you for adding that calling to our church. God, we celebrate our Falls Creek journey with all the sponsors and all the students and everyone that made that trip possible. God, we thank you for those things. And we celebrate those things. And God, we give you the glory and honor for those things. We give you the credit for those things. We do not boast in ourselves, but we boast in you, in Christ Jesus, who allowed and enabled these things to happen. So my first question is to those that feel a calling to follow Jesus Christ closer than they are. Possibly you're giving up things and trading things off for your commitment to Christ. While we're praying, if that's you, would you just lift your hand? If you're trading things off, man, just raise your hand. Raise them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. God, we've got several people trading things off, and we thank you for that, God. The second question I have, church, as we continue to pray, is if you have a call to serve in some area, maybe not in a ministry area, but serve in some area in the church and you just feel it's time for me to step up and serve, would you raise your hand as we continue praying?
Oh, man, lots of our young people. Thank you, Lord, for raising their hands. Other people in church saying it's time to step up and serve. Thank you. All right. And finally, Lord, our last call. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ, and we always want to give opportunity for salvation. If you have a question about your salvation or you haven't accepted Jesus Christ and you'd like to do that today, would you raise your hand so that we have the opportunity just to speak to you, to get some information in your hands and in your ear, if that's you today? All right. Before we finish, as we continue praying, if you raised your hand, would you do me a favor and come forward? If our prayer ministers could come forward, young people, if we have you that want to pray for others, would you come forward? And if you raise your hand today, I'd like you to come forward so that we can pray over you real quick. Let's be bold about this, church. Go ahead and stand to our feet, everyone. Stand to our feet as we continue our celebration. If you raised your hand on any of those calls, would you come forward and allow our prayer ministers, even possibly our young people, to pray for you for that calling? Heavenly Father, we lift up these people at the altar today. We ask you to be in their hearts and their minds. Lord, we thank you for the stirring that's in them. God, we thank you for the stirring of the young people that have raised their hands, that have come forward, for them wanting to pray and touch one another. Lord, we thank you for that gift you've given them. We thank you for those people that said, man, I am trading things off in my relationship with you, Jesus Christ, and I don't want to do that anymore. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And as a church body, we want to come beside them. We want to lift them up as well. And God, we want healing. We want restoration. We want holiness. We want completion to come into the lives of these people. And God, for those people that may not have come forward, that may not have raised their hand, but they feel it, Lord, man, we just thank you for them knowing that. God, would you be at work in their hearts and in their mind? And Lord, come down in their life. And show them the life that you have, the love that you have, the acceptance that you have for them. Paul sought out Christians to kill them. He sought out Christians to kill them. And you made him one of the greatest speakers for your cause. Lord, that is grace and mercy at its best and at its biggest. And you tell us you want us to have life and have it more abundantly. God, help us to come before you. Help us to acknowledge our wrongdoing. Help us to acknowledge and proclaim your name is Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.